Konnichiwa 2019 listeners. We're back.
Yes, we are.
We're back in black.
I know. Well, one of us is.
In pink.
And red. Floral. And
floral. We're back in various color. In Technicolor.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like
That's
that.
A new podcast.
Welcome to 2019.
Yeah. We are the future. We are, of course, the Potty Slam, a wrestling historical podcast. We talk about the locker room and beyond. I am Larry.
I'm Josh.
And I'm April.
And it's great to have you guys back listening.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm so giddy.
I know you are.
Because it's been a while since we've been able to do this. Because, full disclosure, we've said before we record in groups. Mm-hmm. So it's been like a month and a half.
It feels like forever. It feels like last year.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, just sitting at this table and having our Potty Slam set up mm-hmm. and not the conspiracy set up. It's just, so nice.
It is nice. Mm-hmm. A lot less pressure.
Yeah.
A lot less dick jokes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Well, we'll see.
But before we dive into our episode, which I'm sure you've already seen the name of and it's topical and whatnot, we had been promising something big for a while because we were in talks with a certain network. I will leave them nameless. And we had gotten to the point where we were discussing changing logos, hosts. We were going to move away from Beer City to this other network, but we were still going to be
much larger network,
which would have been great. And it got to, when we got to that point, all communication was cut off. And that's the part that bothers me. Yeah. We didn't even get a no. I mean, we got the silent treatment. Mm-hmm. Just fine. If we were 99.9% going to be on and then they said no, fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's their creative direction. But
right.
It's a bummer.
It is a big bummer. So sorry we didn't get to break that news to you, but we will be here.
If you think about it, though, it did kind of save the show because at that point we were kind of discussing
shutting down
Potty Slam like permanently. Mm-hmm. But that sort of renewed our excitement for the show. And I think even though that's not happening for us, that excitement is still there to continue.
Actually, it's even stronger for me now.
Yeah.
Yes. And our numbers went up
mm-hmm.
a lot. So that's a good sign. So we're going to just build this bad boy up like mm-hmm. we have every other show on the Beer City Network.
That's right.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. So let me get my paperwork up here. So ooh, we can paperwork. Discuss.
Are you going to adopt me?
I am. Yes. Surprise, April.
Aww.
I'm your daddy. Who is your daddy? Which, and what does he do?
See, makes you my step dad. Foster dad.
Something like, I don't know. It's too, too complex. This family tree's got a lot of knots and holes in it.
Yep.
Eugene Arthur Okerlund.
Oof.
Born December 19th, 1942. Was born in Siston, South Dakota. I see SD and I think San Diego.
Uh-huh.
But it's South Dakota. He formed a band in his high school days, actually.
Really?
Gene Carroll and the Shades.
Ooh.
Throwing shade.
Nice.
I bet they were like that, a good doo-wop.
Is it ever gonna happen? Is it ever gonna be? Is it ever gonna happen?
They actually have releases. They released a single in 1959. Red Devil and Do You Remember?
Wow.
A second single in 1962, Is It Ever Gonna Happen? And Holly. As Gene Carroll, they played parties throughout the Midwest and the Dakotas, and in 2009, they were actually inducted into the South Dakota Rock and Roll Music Association's Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Probably its only member. He moved to the Twin Cities, that's Minnesota, St. Paul area, in 1967, where he worked in radio for a number of years before he came to WTCN Channel 11 as a salesman. And this is where his career picks up. He was asked to sub when AWA ring announcer Marty O'Neill during a union strike in the early 70s. Because he worked in the back office, he technically wasn't crossing the picket line. He wasn't talent.
Okay.
So it was a little workaround.
Mm-hmm.
And it quite apparent that he was just natural for this job.
Mm-hmm.
That long-forgotten aspect of his on-camera debut was not mentioned by any other source that I was reading into, but there was this, it's called Canoe, and it's like a Canadian news source.
Of course it's Canadian.
Moose and Canoe. Or
yep.
In his AWAs, he was given the nickname Mean Gene by Jesse the Body Ventura as irony, because he was like the nicest guy there. So he got the name Mean Gene, probably because it rhymed. I mean, it was better than like Cream Gene or...
Ooh, yeah. You don't want that nickname.
You don't want Cream Gene. And Okerlund was close friends with Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik and Bobby Heenan. Okerlund, as a matter of fact, was the best man at the Iron Sheik's wedding.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. As Okerlund praised the sportsmanlike efforts of the rising, handsome, high-flying tag team of Greg Gagne and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, man, oh man alive, talk about your action. He would sternly hold the sneering world heavyweight champion Nick Bockwinkel and his manager Bobby the Brain Heenan to account, springing surprise challenges and matchmaking stipulations. And then when they would try to argue back, you would say, "We're out of time," cutting them off.
Nice.
The straight punchlines reeled off with Heenan, the Crusher, Baron Von Raschke were repeated on schoolyards and lunchrooms for years after. He was uniquely talented at bringing on newcomers who were not yet at ease with the camera and giving them perfect setups to get used to talking about themselves and their opponents and help them get themselves over. His battle of wits with Jesse the Body Ventura resulted in Jesse coining the Mean Gene tag that stuck for 40 years. And so we'll give you a little example here of his AWA days.
Yeah, this is a introduction to a character that AWA hadn't seen before, and I don't think many people had, so I hope you're ready for this.
I am.
Hello again, everybody. Gene Okerlund here, TV20's All-Star Wrestling on the air. You have just seen 6'9" tall, Big John Studd, a man that goes 345 pounds. Big man indeed. But come on in if you would, please. I've got one better for you. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The biggest professional athlete in the entire world, my guest at this time, his name, Andre the Giant from Grenoble, France. Just exactly how tall are you, Andre? How much do you weigh?
7'4½", and I weigh 497 pounds.
You played a role of Bigfoot in a series sometime back. What was the name of that series?
The $6 Million Man. I was the first guy who played Bigfoot in there.
Yeah. Very good. Andre the Giant, you've done it all. They tell me that as a youngster over in France, you played soccer. Is that true?
I played soccer for 4 years. Then after the soccer, I played rugby for 2 years. I was in boxing for almost 2 years, and now I'm in wrestling for almost 15 years.
And you have done well. You have traveled all throughout the world. Am I correct?
All over the world. And even I used to wrestling even there in San Francisco. I don't wrestle in San Francisco for a long time. And I find that now you got a big guy, big John Studd in there. And I'd be very happy to come back in San Francisco wrestling against, not just against John Studd, but against anyone you want. Because back in San Francisco, I got lots of friends. Et je voudrais dire une chose, c'est qu'il y a beaucoup de Français aussi à San Francisco. Ça fait bien longtemps que je ne les ai pas vus. Et si vraiment j'ai la chance de revenir lutter à San Francisco, j'aimerais bien venir vous voir et faire le party comme on avait avant.
Andre, would you be kind enough to hold your hand up for the fans here in the Bay Area? Can our cameraman get a good tight shot of that? Can you believe the difference in the size of hands? How big a shoe do you wear?
22.
A size 22, that makes my size 9. Look, can our cameraman come on down here? That makes my size 9 shoe look a little ridiculous. Andre, I'm certain that professional football teams or basketball teams at one time or another had to contact you with the tremendous athletic ability you have along with your height and so forth. You've got to be a prime target for professional sports.
A few years ago, the Washington Redskins contacted me, but that time my wrestling schedule was so busy and I was making so much money with wrestling. The football team have enough money to pay me. So
I'll tell you what. Very good. Andre the Giant, the gentle giant, until you get in the ring, and then it's a completely different story.
Difference.
Very good. Fans, you've seen him. The world's biggest professional athlete, Andre the Giant at 7'4", 485 pounds, and more action in just a moment.
Yeah, so to kind of give you an idea that back then, Andre the Giant, while known worldwide, this was a territory days, so that was probably, I'm guessing, I don't know, we haven't looked into it, but his introduction to the AWA days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear more about Andre Johnson, Andre the Giant.
If you want to hear about his Johnson, you can listen to it. Though.
Episode 7. We cover his drinking and his penis.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep. Yes. So, to kind of fill you in on more about the AWA, the golden goose of the wrestling business became Hulk Hogan. And upon his rapid switch to the baby face side of the AWA cards in 1981 and rise to challenge Bockwinkel and the Heenan family and vanquish menaces like Mr. Sato and David Schultz. Future episode, Dr. David Schultz. Mm. Okerlund pushed the huge muscle man to the moon and beyond. In his period, he and Hulk Hogan were notorious for their post-arena partying at the Polo Park Inn. Oh, to be a fly on the wall.
I know.
No kidding.
Taking over the stage with musical performances and plentiful cocktails. What a sight, I'm sure. Winnipeg fans, lucky enough to squeeze into the lounge, gabbed for weeks afterwards about it. Okerlund helped establish the Incredible Hulk as a true ticket-selling attraction. Of course, which was helped by him being in Rocky III. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon recognized their act, and of course, in 1983, he would start grabbing some talent. And that talent included Mean Gene. And he stayed with AWA until the end of 83, when he was one of many AWA personalities to join WWF at the time. He stayed there for 9 years, and that kind of surprised me. Feel like it was longer, but...
Seems like it was way longer than that. I feel like I was watching him into the 90s, like way into the 90s. Mm-hmm.
You were, but it was on a different channel.
Well, yeah.
he was their top interviewer and was host of such WWF shows as All American Wrestling and Tuesday Night Titans, which you can find on the network for
$9.99.
Worth it if you can afford it. I love watching those old shows.
Yeah.
In 1984, Okerlund and Hogan faced Mr. Fuji and George the Animal Steel in Minneapolis. Yes, Okerlund climbed into the ring. He was supposed to stay on the apron and let Hogan fight, but when Hogan gave him a high five, the referee mistook it for a tag. Okerlund had to go in, but before his opponent touched him, he quickly got out of the way and tagged Hogan back in. Hogan did end up pinning Mr. Fuji for the victory. So there's his first victory in professional wrestling. Okerlund was part of one of the most infamous bloopers in professional wrestling history at SummerSlam in 1989. He was set to interview WWF Intercontinental Champion Ravishing Rick Rude and Rick Rude's manager Bobby Heenan prior to Rude's title defense against the Ultimate Warrior.
Gentlemen, as you know, the Ultimate Warrior has publicly stated that... Damn it, who put that up? Is that $200 an hour?
Oh, well, guess what? The cameras cut away to a live shot of the crowd with play-by-play announcer, get this, Tony Schiavone and Jesse the Body Ventura. Hmm. So Tony Schiavone, before WCW, worked in WWF.
Oh.
Fun factoid about that specific clip. Everyone knows that they record a lot of these things beforehand, and that was a blooper that was not meant to be played. They accidentally played the wrong clip.
Yep, that's what he said in a shoot interview. Oh, cool. And he explained that the wrong tape was aired. Meanwhile, a frantic Vince McMahon was on a headset instructing Ventura to cover for Okerlund. But Ventura instead made fun of Okerlund's on-air gaffe and jokingly regarded Okerlund as a troublemaker.
Adding to the Mean Gene.
Yes, that's why they call me the Mind Ventura. He does have a good mind for the business. Mm-hmm. He also said in that shoot interview that although he probably could have renegotiated a contract that was up, he never actually was offered one, thus opting to become an interviewer for World Championship Wrestling. He claimed at the time of his hiring with WCW that he had not even been on speaking terms with Vince McMahon his last few years with the WWF.
Wow.
He debuted on November 6, 1993 of WCW Saturday Night. 3 years later, his contract expired with WCW, and he was off television for 2 months in the fall of 1996. His final appearance was at the WCW Fall Brawl on September 15th, 1996. Okerlund had reached out to WWF once again to be rehired, but he was immediately rejected.
Yikes.
I think this is the Attitude Era. They're going away from that.
That mindset, the way that they did it.
The way they used to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were definitely saying this is a new thing.
Yep.
Mike Tenay took over the special interviews and the pay-per-view reports for WCW. Okerlund signed a new contract with WCW and returned on the November 11th, 1996 edition of WCW Monday Nitro. After that, he was with WCW until it was sold on March 26, 2001 in the WWF. And I think we've got an example of him in WCW.
You've been pretty good at running your mouth soft so far, but tonight you're going to have to back it up with action.
Yo, 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 Gene, let me speak on this, all you cranberries and strawberries. You like my shirt, Gene? You want to touch it? That's enough.
Hey, real good impression there, you prick. What about the rest of you piss ants? Anybody else want to do impressions?
Hey, old man, why don't you shut up?
What do you call him?
Hey, blow it out your ass, O'Hare. I got guys that can take out your kneecaps.
Hey, watch that. Hey, I got suspended for leading the beatdown of a bitter, pitiful old man. We need you tonight. Listen here, cameraman. I want you to pull it in real tight. You're looking at the group of the most genetically jacked superstars in WCW. We've worked long, we've worked hard busting our ass. Now we're gonna start kicking yours. Filthy animals, you're going up against the future. What you got? Two midgets, a bald guy, a cheese whiz sucking trailer trash hoochie? Hoochie. I'm a gambling man by nature, and odds aren't looking good.
Here's WCW pushing too hard to be edgy. Okerlund actually wrestled twice in WCW. The first was in mid-2000 when he and Buff Bagwell faced Chris Kanyon and announcer Mark Madden, with Bagwell and Okerlund winning. However, Madden wanted Okerlund back in the ring the next week, and he got him in a one-on-one match. The two did wrestle again, and Okerlund won the match with the assistance of Pamela Paulshock. It's a name that just even slips past me.
Yeah.
Mean Gene Okerlund had a free platform on WCW Saturday Night to push people towards... Do you remember this? The WCW hotline? Remember the hotlines were a thing?
I thought about grabbing the stuff for that, but I was like, I got a lot of clips already.
So he did. Name dropping people like Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, and the Ultimate Warrior. Most of the times people who called in would find outright lies or something very misleading. Okerlund once asked fans to phone in to find out why Ric Flair was in the Northeast, implying that he was meeting up with WWF. If you paid your $1.50 per minute, and they would put the stuff they pushed 5 minutes into the phone call, you would have found out that Ric Flair was in New York meeting an executive, Joel Gold's Gym, for possible commercial work.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
But it all pales in comparison to his big hook on February 5th, 1995. Okerlund asked people to call the hotline to find out, quote, which former 45-year-old heavyweight champion had died. Ric Flair was 45 at the time.
Oh.
Now, it's bad enough to try to use death to hook people into calling your paid hotline, but quite another to imply that the death may have actually been that of Ric Flair. Because Flair had been off of TV, barring a random appearance at the Clash of the Champions. I think he was having... This is when WCW was bought out by a Time Warner. And they felt Ric Flair was too old to be on TV, even though he was still the hottest thing, him and Sting. So they had removed him off of TV. They actually made him cut his hair and changed his name to Spartacus for a brief while.
God.
I bet they felt like dum-dums after.
Yes. The only reason they had him for that pay-per-view appearance was because Harley Race no-showed. So they just had to throw somebody in. The implication of course, of that hotline call was to find out if Rick had died, and people called in. They wanted to know. The average weekend for the hotline would have drawn about $5,000 for the company. For what it's worth, if we assume an average call time of 4 minutes at $6, then we can assume they got about 800 calls every weekend. That weekend of the Ric Flair thing, they made $75,000.
Holy crap.
By the same math, that's about 8,000 to 12,000 people calling in.
Jeez.
So if you think business-wise, Okerlund did a good job. But, I mean, using the death of Real Pippin's really shady. But anyone with any shame would have been equally appalled by the move. It was especially strange for Okerlund, who worked with Jerry the Crusher Blackwell, and that's who had died.
Oh.
He worked with him in AWA. He was a 5'10", 450-pound wrestler. And the heavyweight title, the only thing we could find is he was once an AWA tag champion with Ken Patera. So to call him a heavyweight title holder, stretched a little
bit. It's a technicality.
Yeah, right.
So, of course, you would have had to wait 5 minutes just to find out that it was Jerry the Crusher who had died and not Ric Flair.
Which is kind of a sigh of relief, but the thing is we didn't have a Twitter or Facebook back then.
You had to call the hotline.
Yep.
Now, shortly before WWF's purchase of WCW in 2001, Oakland rejoined the now WWE in 2002 to announce the gimmick battle royal of WrestleMania 17. Yep. He announced it along with Bobby the Brain Heenan. He hosted WWE Confidential in 2002, which lasted for 2 years. He also hosted WWE Madison Square Garden Classics, a weekly series airing on the MSG network. He was also the host for the WWE Classics on Demand Hall of Fame section, which took a different look at a different Hall of Famer each month. He was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame on April 1st, 2006 by Hulk Hogan. June 2008, Oakland began hosting WWE Vintage Collection, a program which showcased archive footage from the extensive WWE video library. He conducted interviews on 3-hour old school episode of Raw on November 15, 2010, where he interviewed John Cena, Randy Orton, members of the Nexus, and Mae Young. And he did it in the fashion of like he did in the 80s. So it was a good old school approach. Oakland was appeared in a few old school merchandising segments. And on April 10th, 2012, during the WWE SmackDown Blast from the Past, Oakland teamed with World Heavyweight Champion Sheamus in a winning effort against the team of Daniel Bryan and Alberto Del Rio. On December 17th, 2012, of Raw, Oakland appeared alongside Jim Ross and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat to announce the winner of the Slammy Award for Match of the Year. On March 4th, 2013, he appeared on the second Old School Raw for Mae Young's 90th birthday party, which was later interrupted by CM Punk. On January 7th, 2014, Oakland made an appearance at the Old School Raw, in which he made references to the premium rate wrestling hotlines he did in the 80s and 90s. And in November 2016, Oakland became the narrator for the WWE Network original animated series, WWE Storytime, which I like.
That's my favorite show on the network.
It's us, but better.
Yeah, they get animators. Right.
Yeah. I know.
January 22nd, 2018, at Raw 25 years, Oakland made his final WWE appearance where he interviewed AJ Styles. We were going to play that, but you said it's really not much Oakland.
He says one line.
Okay. Yeah, we can skip that.
You can look it up if you're really interested.
Yeah. But I think we have one more clip to give you an idea. Just another good old WWF clip I want to hear.
Fans, coming up a week from tonight here at Boston at the Garden. Saturday night, February 2, World Wrestling Federation action that is simply unbelievable. In a return bout, Texas Tornado Tag Team match, Big John Studd, Ken Patera to meet Junkyard Dog and his partner Andre the Giant. By the way, Bobby the Brain Heenan will be there. The ladies' champion, Wendy Richter, to be challenged by Judy Martin. In addition, Barry Windham from Sweetwater, Texas, just a little west of Abilene. Get ready, Windham, to go against Russian Nikolai Volkov. Mike Rotundo on that great card to meet the Iron Sheik. And Polish power, Ivan Putski, will have to deal with the likes of my guest at this time, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. If you look a little down in the mouth this week, any reason for that, Paul?
Yeah, there's a reason for it. You know that it's gotten to the point where you know every time that I look at the cameras that another woman leaves her husband for Mr. Wonderful.
I've heard.
Well, you know something? I'm losing sleep about that. And I can't help
that. You don't want to do it.
Listen, you know,
can't help for the way you look.
Exactly. I know I'm not Mr. Wonderful. You know I'm Mr. Wonderful.
Not.
But who are we to all those millions of people out there know that I'm Mr. Wonderful?
What are our opinions? Millions out there that say you are Mr. Wonderful. You're right.
Exactly right. You know something, Gene, just to bring up some things that's happened to me lately. I was flying from L.A. to New York. I reserved my own first class section.
The whole section?
Exactly. I have my own busboys. I have my own waitresses waiting on me. I want to be left alone. And Lord and behold, who comes up and bothers me? Who else? The captain of the airplane. Want to know, Mr. Wonderful, is it okay to take off now?
Oh, come on.
Hey.
The captain's trying to get your permission.
That's right. What do you do on that day? Captain, hey, You call the control tower. They tell you when to take off.
Get the cards from
exactly,
them.
Exactly. Don't
Why
come
bother
with
you.
That. You know, and this stuff happens on and on and on. I can't even go to an airport. I can't even leave my motel because all the limousines are out there, traffic jams, fighting over to see who's going to take Mr. Wonderful to wherever he's going.
You've got no private life at all.
None.
It's got to be a nightmare for
it's
you.
Terrible. It's terrible.
Sure.
And even in the Boston Gardens, look at all the legends that's passed through there. Bobby Orr, Larry Bird. Those are really legends.
But the
legends above legends is Mr. Wonderful right here. Right here he stands.
You're putting yourself in the same category with...
I'm putting myself
with the,
above him.
With the Cousies.
That's it.
With the Collins.
And you know why? Do you know why? I'm going to show you the body that women love and the men love to fear. It's just that simple. Take a look at that. How's that look, huh? You don't think there's
You're
a
asking
man
me?
Out there? Look at it. I know. Hey, it don't take much for you to please you. But you know something, Ivan Putski, turtle head? You know what a turtle does? You know, when you see a turtle with that big old long head and then he does something and it goes in? Well, that's exactly what Putski's going to do. Exactly. It's going to go inside that shell. And you'll disappear. You'll never see it again.
I'll wait for tonight. We'll see you there.
Yeah, that's a tough interview, Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah. I got to say, I want to say just the appreciation that I think a lot of people would have for him, but this is just me personally mm-hmm. saying. I love that he is able to take an interview with people and push that in a direction that is just comic gold. I mean, I could have obviously put about 10
Randy Savage mm-hmm. for sure,
because every one of those promos were solid. And it was because of Randy, of course, but it was also Mean Gene just like poking the bear.
Up. Like, come on. It's like throwing the ball up and letting them dunk.
Mm-hmm.
So
I listened to that voice and think if he had not been a wrestling, he could have made a name in radio.
Oh, yeah, easily. For sure.
Should have done podcasts,
but he didn't do radio. He did fast food. Yeah. His name has been associated with fast food concept Mean Gene's Burgers, the brainchild of food distributor Orion Food Systems, headed by two of Oakland's nephews, which appeared on college campuses, including Duke University in West Virginia, as well as Mean Gene's Pizza, a chain of pizzerias located within bowling alleys.
Oh God, that sounds so bad.
Smart.
It is smart, but I hate the idea of finger food at a bowling alley.
You're
going to coagulate that ball and the hole and the finger holes are going to
get... What's in here? Oh, it's just old cheese.
Cheese and wing sauce. And But then again, if you're at a bowling alley, you're probably not an elite athlete either. Mean Gene's Burgers locations were also located at select overseas Navy bases. And these are owned by Hot Stuff Foods, which was headed by two of his nephews, like I said earlier. Early in 2006, Oakland and Hot Stuff split. Oakland and one of those nephews were planning to start their own food company on the brands, but Hot Stuff sued, claiming that they owned the Mean Gene trademark.
Oh, hell no.
They did.
What?
He didn't trademark it.
I figured WWF would have.
Apparently they must have thought it had been, and it wasn't. Oof. Oakland lost that case with the judge saying that Oakland can't use the name Mean Gene when it comes to food, so he couldn't use it for his new food company. Oakland succeeded in canceling the trademark registrations held by Orion, but remained enjoined from competing with Orion for the remainder of his life.
That's a
shame. So they couldn't use it. He couldn't use it.
Ugh.
Oakland had been married to his wife, Jeannie, yeah. So Mean Gene and Mean Jeannie, since March 27th, 1964.
Wow.
That's going to be you two one day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is she still alive?
Yes.
Oh.
And they had two sons and three grandchildren. His son Todd starred on the University of Minnesota ice hockey team from 1983 to 1987. He then played in the 1988 United States Olympics team.
Really?
That competed in Calgary. He played four games in the NHL for the New York Islanders.
Wow.
But a knee injury ultimately forced his early retirement.
Oh.
Four games and have to go into retirement. That sucks.
Now, I don't have this here, but it just popped in my mind, Legends House.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like what's
it was
that?
Like a it was reality.
Like the, it was like the Big Brother of wrestling. WWE. Yeah,
didn't miss an episode.
Really, I've never seen it.
It's funny.
Yeah,
it's funny enough.
Who was on that?
Hillbilly Jim, Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, Tony Atlas, Pat Patterson.
Yep. Isn't that where he came out?
Pat Patterson? Yeah, I think so. Kind of, yeah. Yeah, it was.
It's where he...
I mean, not that it was a secret.
But that's where he like actually technically came out.
Yeah. Yeah. We also found on that show that Okerlund was a very heavy drinker for most of his adult life. And as a matter of fact, such a heavy drinker that he had received 3 kidney transplants.
Holy shit.
That's going to be Ryan.
The first was in 1995, the second in 2004, which he had received from his wife.
Wow.
And then he drank that one away.
Jeez.
And that's kind of what, it's not what led to his death, but his son said he took a spill on his last few days and.
That's a shame.
Unfortunately, he passed away.
How old was he?
76.
76.
Yeah.
Man.
Still young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's like.
76 is the new 50.
4 years older than my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. But he led a hell of a life.
Yeah, he did.
Left it all on the table for sure.
How about that, though, that he was just planning on being in TV and just by coincidence. Well,
not just, he was going to be in TV in the back office is where he's working, which is crazy.
And then he became, I would say, debatably the biggest interviewer in professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not WWE, professional wrestling.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who else would you put up there?
I can't think of anybody else.
That's the thing. Backstage interviews, he was the man.
Mm-hmm.
Coach was hot for a second, but
yeah. Yeah, I suppose
there never will be another Mean Gene.
Nope. Never.
Definitely not.
And don't get me wrong, I think that the people that are doing it now they're fine.
Well, Ric Flair said just after the death of Mean Gene that there won't be another because WWE won't give anybody the same opportunity that Mean Gene got. They don't take the handcuffs off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look at Renee Young. She has had a crazy journey.
She was, I mean, ESPN was chucking money at her trying to lure her away. Cause she would be a good sports sideline reporter.
Absolutely. But I mean, to go from sporadic backstage stuff to most of it and then doing the pre-pay-per-view things, but now she's a full head.
They have her there. I wish they would let her loose.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think she's a lot more talented than people give her credit for. I've actually listened to the podcast that she does, and off, you know, regulated air, she's fantastic.
She's great on Talking Smack.
Yeah, for sure.
Make her and Mark Ranallo the just everything.
I think she works with Michael Cole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they have her with him to kind of get her. Michael Cole's better than he. Listen to him in the 90s. They have put handcuffs on
him.
Yeah. What I was going to say, people shit on Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have the experience that he does?
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear him outside of Raw, he's great. And you're like you said, in the 90s. But also, what was the other special thing? Was it the European tournament that they did like a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
He announced that too, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of those like special ones, and he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So when he has Vince in his ear is when it's a problem.
And if you look in situations like where Jerry Lawler has had his heart attack, like live, and Michael Cole... just
episode, I can't remember, but go back, you'll find
it. Yeah, we talked about that. And, you know, for how he picked up the slack and handled that whole situation.
And the rest of the show.
And, you know, and those constant updates on, is he alive? Is he not alive? You know, the way he handled that, I think, is a testament to how good he really is.
And he was a war reporter during the Desert Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think it feels like, and now we'll just say, We're just gonna talk wrestling in general here at the end of the show from now on all these shows. Let's give them something to talk about. So
you have something you really want to talk
about. I do. I want to talk about this Hulk Hogan thing. This using Mean Gene as a way to get him back in the good graces of people. It feels gross.
It does. It makes me want to take a shower. Mm-hmm. Like,
Okay. When it comes to Hogan, I recently was talking to other people about Hogan because it feels like it's almost a stigma. If you like Hogan now, there's something wrong with you. Now, I feel like we have to remember that there's there's Hulk Hogan and then there's Terry Bollea, or those are two different people. And I know someone's out there going, Josh, you son of a bitch, you're wrong. But Hulk Hogan is the one who body slammed Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan is the name that you will hear from most people. When you go around and you say, name a professional wrestler, of course you're going to hear your John Cena's and your Macho Man, but Hulk Hogan, he's the guy. He's the Hulk. He Hulkamaniac. And, you know, I think that you got to remember that there is a difference. And what Terry Bollea said is shitty. Mm-hmm. He's very slimy. We've all seen Hogan Knows Best.
And had he not had been recorded behind his back.
Here's a, I don't want to, no. But I agree with you. There's other ways of bringing Hogan back in, but you can't force the fans of professional wrestling to be okay with it when it's coming from a negative. And he left on a negative.
I'm a little curious, to be honest, and, you know, pushing back the curtain, we're actually recording this
as it's probably happening.
I will be curious to watch the footage of him coming out and to see the crowd's reaction. Will he get booed?
I think
will he get cheered? Will it be kind of a mixture of both?
I think because of the way they're doing it, he'll get cheered.
Yeah.
Well, it does depend. You might hear cheering because they have been known to pipe cheers or boos.
That's what they say, but I've been to live events.
I've never really
You'll be able to hear the difference between speakers and live.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think full disclosure, if I were there, I would cheer. It's Hulk Hogan. That's a legend.
You get to that piping stuff. That seems to be bitter fans who aren't like the rest of the crowd is cheering for a guy they don't want. So it must be piped in.
Right. Yeah.
Who could possibly like Roman Reigns? Those kids can't like Roman Reigns. Meanwhile, they're wearing the shirt and cheering their asses off.
Yeah.
It's, holding up signs. I love Roman Reigns.
Oh, no. It was definitely piped
in. Now they spelled it wrong.
They only cut to the 75,000 kids that were actually cheering for him.
Oh, the half that audience were people or paid extras.
That's the other one, paid extras. Yep. Okay.
But yeah, I'm the same. Like, it's probably happening right now.
Hogan is going to come back, and I guess this is their opportunity.
I do wish, though, it was just under a different circumstance. Now, of course, Hogan has been at WWE events. This is just his first live on TV. Camera.
Okay.
So he's been at things. So
has he asked for forgiveness? He's apologized, hasn't he?
Yes. But people are like, well, he didn't apologize to me. That's the thing. People say that they don't feel his apology was heartfelt. And I guess, I don't know how I feel about that because
he said something racist.
He did.
Did he do something racist? Has he kept people down because of their color? Is there some sort of sign that he would refuse to wrestle someone because they're black?
Right. And furthermore, how many people that are these on their keyboard saying this and that about him saying these horrible things have probably said something themselves? They weren't recorded.
There it is. We'll take a pause, Rick, right now. And I think ultimately it's as white people, it's really, I don't know. It's not really up to us to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my thing is, how many times off camera or off mic has anybody else said anything that was horrible? And it may have been a moment, may have slipped. Maybe they were drinking. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I haven't heard of any past wrestlers really coming up with things about Hogan saying things in the past, has there?
I
think it was just this one time, which is not good.
Yeah, no matter what, it sucks, but I don't know. I just know that there's a lot of people I personally know, great people, but and maybe like one moment that I've heard them say something that was actually pretty horrible.
It does change your opinion on them too.
Well, and sometimes it doesn't excuse it. I'm going to say that first and foremost, they may have been joking about something. Mm-hmm. Does it mean they're a terrible person? No, but what they said still was shitty.
You're blowing up over there.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, just because someone says one thing that's bad doesn't mean that they are technically a bad person.
Feel free to call them out on it too.
Yeah, give them all the shit in the world because that what they said was shitty.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we're back.
We ended on such
a high
such
note.
A happy high note there, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Well, do you remember last September when I went back to school? Darling, do you remember last September how I fell in love with you? The days were lonely without you. The nights were lonely too. Hey, baby, do you remember my love for you? Was too for you, pretty baby. Do you remember last September when I went back to school? Darling, do you remember last September when I came home to you? My love for you was it for you, pretty baby. Do you remember last September when I went back to school? Tell me, do you remember last September when I came home to you? Do you remember?